I'd like to speak this morning from the book of 1 Kings. And I'm most interested here in an event in the life of a mountain man, and his name is Elijah. And we may not completely finish the story this morning. We have a lot I want to talk about, and the scriptures is just filled with so much information that is so good. But if you'd like to be ahead of everybody else, if you would turn to 1 Kings, and I'd like to read in a couple of minutes from chapter 16 and then chapter 17. But before we go there, how many of you, especially those that are older than about 30, have ever said things are just not like they used to be? Some of you here may have ridden on the back of the tailgate of a pickup truck. That would be highly illegal today. You may have drank water from a dipper, and you were very careful which side of the dipper you drank from. How about this one? Drinking water from a hose pipe. The hose pipe has been replaced by water hose. Did you ever speak on a party line? Did you ever get your arm caught in a wringer-type washing machine? All the way up to your elbow. We didn't have a TV in our home until I was 13. Then it was black and white, and we could watch all three channels. And when we wanted to change channels, you had to get up and walk to the TV and turn the knob and occasionally walk outside on the edge of the front porch and turn the antenna. Did you ever get a whipping at school? They had the power to beat you. And then when you got home, you could get another one. I remember when gas was 19 cents a gallon. My dad ran a family store station combination. We all worked in it at different times without pay. We had two types of gas. Ethel, remember her? And regular. No one ever uses the term high test anymore. But things will never be the way they were. There was even a certain sense of brand loyalty in religion in years gone by. You could cross boundaries, and if you were a Methodist, you could go to the Baptist, and if you were Baptist, you could go to Church of God. If you were Adventist, you seldom ever went anywhere else. Brand loyalty. There was a particular hope in America, especially in my generation, up until Vietnam came along. Hope in America through jobs and education and military superiority. And when my dad turned 62, he locked the store, went to the house, and never opened it again. Hard to imagine I'm just a few months from being his age. There was a trust that Social Security would allow you to have a certain measure of financial independence and also bring with it a measure of health care. You can forget that today. You have seen the stock market crash. You've seen the cycles of economic prosperity and failure. You've heard all about the housing crisis. Things will never go back to the way they were. And some of it, I'm glad we shall not go back there. August just about got part of my message today when he was talking about what the Pope said. As Seventh-day Adventists, we believe in Bible prophecy and that it shall come true. And the Pope of Rome shall seek to invite and unite the great religions of the world and promote the sanctity of Sunday. We can no longer say he's going to do that because he is doing it now. Politics and religion mingle together, create some unusual circumstances. And so with that in mind, politics and religion shall never be the same again. Neither shall social factors of yesteryear. But this allows me a smooth transition into the book of 1 Kings. And I'm following my tradition here of trying to preach a sermon out of each of the books of the Old Testament. There was a man by the name of Elijah, a man from the mountains that God would call upon to do a very specific thing. He would deliver a unique message. May I give you the background in 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 33. Talk about politics and religion being mingled together. It always brings suffering. It says in verse 33 of 1 Kings 16, "And Ahab made a grove." Means he planted some trees. They grew quickly. "And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him." Scripture reading today reminds us of Ahab's wife, whose name was Jezebel. I think I mentioned here once, I've never met any woman today named Jezebel. I did meet a dog once with that name. But by nature, Jezebel carries with it the idea of looseness and meanness and anger. When Elijah was living, his world was changing, and it would never be the same again. I'd like to read you a word-for-word quote out of the book Prophets and Kings. It says, "Under the blighting influence of Ahab's rule, Israel had wandered far from the living God and corrupted their ways before him. For many years they had been losing their sense of reverence and godly fear. And now it seemed as if there was no one who dared expose their lives by openly standing forth in opposition to the prevailing blasphemy. The dark shadow of apostasy covered the land. Images of Balaam and Ashtaroth were everywhere to be seen. Idolatrous temples and consecrated groves wherein were worshipped the works of men's hands were multiplied. The air was polluted with the smoke of the sacrifices offered to false gods. Hill and valley surrounded with the drunken cries of a heathen priesthood who sacrificed to the sun, moon, and the stars. And then I wrote this, and I think it's pretty good. Apostasy, blasphemy, idolatry, immorality were great friends. Satan would use their fellowship to destroy the people of God. That was the background for this mountain man, Elijah. God speaks to Elijah. And if you will notice in 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah goes to visit King Ahab. On the way to the palace, Elijah walks all day and all night. He's a very determined man. There's no question what God wants him to do. And it's true to all of those today who make a decision to serve God, there will come a time, and there will be times, when you feel the influence of God so strongly upon your mind, you really know at that time what you are supposed to do. There may be other occasions, even months or years, where you feel like your spiritual life is just really not maturing, but don't forget, God's not leaving you. God's growing you. God's calling you. When Elijah fully understood what he was supposed to do, his eye was set upon the address of Ahab's palace. He passed by beautiful mountains and beautiful green valleys and big, huge trees with green leaves and fruit. And he passed by rivers and streams of water, and everywhere he looked, he could see prosperity. Somehow he got into Ahab's palace there without being caught. He just bluntly shows up before Ahab. Now listen to this, chapter 17, verse 1. He says, "Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." May not mean much to you, but here's what was taking place. Jezebel and her priest had been on a mission. It really wasn't their mission. It was Satan's mission to destroy the people of God. Their mission had been to declare there is no creator God, Jehovah. But these gods of Baal and Ashtaroth and others are the real gods. When you fall down and you worship these gods of wood and of stone and the carvings made by man's hands, you are really worshiping those who control the earth and fire and wind and water. Now, we would never believe such a story today. But we believe other things. Your world around you is changing religiously, and it's an intentional change. I'm grateful that we have within our church at least a printed summary of what we believe as a denomination. I want to know what my church believes. But there's always room for growth and improvement for truth, especially truth that is experienced. One of the greatest truths that you can grab hold of is demonstrated right here in what happens next with Elijah. It's taking me a long time to even begin to understand this part. But to me, it It's superlative to a lot of other things I even teach as a pastor. Absolute trust in God is a wonderful thing. Would you say amen? And when you choose to follow Christ, you are actually saying, I choose to follow you no matter what happens. Things beyond my control, I accept. Ahab looked around for Elijah, and Elijah had slipped away. Verse 2, I wish I knew how this took place. Over and over in the New Testament, there are people who hear the voice of God. They are moved by the direct knowledge that God wants them to do something very certain. And the word of the Lord came unto him, came unto Elijah. This is verse 2. And God even told Elijah where to have his retreat. I want you to go down to this little brook. Hide yourself there. One of the tributaries of the Jordan River. Remember now, the conflict here is between the false gods they were worshiping and this new establishment that Elijah is reminding Ahab of, the establishment of God Almighty as the one who controls the water. It would take a lot of nerve to make such an announcement as that. I once had a pastor friend say to me, Wendell, within 3 years, the Lord's going to come. I'm not going to get into that. Takes a lot of faith to make declarations of such powerful intent. He said to Ahab, the God of heaven controls the water, and it will not rain until God makes it rain. And it came true. The dew did not fall. The rain showers did not come. The rivers dried up. Even the brook where he was staying, the little creek, it became dry. God sent him somewhere else. The lesson I'm thinking about today in this idea of trust has to do with blessings. You cannot show me in Scripture where God says that every blessing is going to be a happy blessing. It's not in Scripture. I copied something down. It says, our blessings are not always easy. Our blessings are not always painless. Our blessings do not always come as comfort or comfortable. They do not always come as expected. Oh, how I wish they did. I wish that all of God's blessings would always come and bring happiness and joy. As usual, someone asked me this week what I was preaching on. And I started trying to explain what I wanted to explain to you. And that person says, I'm all mixed up, just stop. But it was a blessing for me to hear that, because that said you need to explain it a little bit more simply. Here's the message of today. Elijah stood before Ahab and he said, "It will not rain." And it didn't rain for 3 years. That's a long time. It brought suffering and sorrow and pain to thousands of people. The crops would not grow. The animals died. Children died. People, adults died. A lot of people suffered. All because God said, "I do not want it to rain." Had you been there and had you been trying to find water for your children or the last of your cattle, you would have almost been cursing God because you, if you knew, God has the power to make it rain. And here are the thousands of people suffering because he would not allow it to rain. The people that were suffering under the drought had no idea of such a tremendous blessing that it was going to be. Now listen to me. God does not always bring pain and suffering. That's really not what he wants. But God always wants to bring life and perseverance and safety. Everything that's the opposite of blasphemy and idolatry and immorality and all of those things is what God wants for his people. God saw thousands of people being led astray by false teachings. And in his mind and his way of thinking, he assumed that it's better for people to suffer now for a short while than to suffer for all eternity and to burn. I say, praise God. Now some of you know where I can go with this, and I'm not going to go there today. I don't want to go to disease and sin and suffering and all of that. I want to go back to the idea of blessing and how God wants to bless you. When you are in the middle of a blessing, sometimes you may not even be able to recognize it or identify it. Would you say amen to that? So therefore, you are not always capable of diagnosing your own spiritual condition. And don't look to the pastor because I can't do it either. But I can point you to someone who can. And that's the King of all ages. And that's why it is so important to be a child of the King. You may be receiving a blessing right now and it be the worst time of your life. But if it works for the salvation of your soul and of your children and your family and your friends and your church, I say, bring it on. We can sing, "I'm a child of the King," and really believe it. Because God never fails. He never forsakes his people. Neither did he forsake Elijah.